The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is Jesus telling the rich young ruler in Matthew 19? Will keeping commandments give a person eternal life? Or is Jesus making a point to the contrary? Thank you for listening today. This is Grace in Focus, and just ahead, we'll center our discussion on these questions and this topic. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. There's much to learn about us at our website, faithalone.org, including we have a seminary. We have an online seminary where you can earn an MDiv degree, and it's free if you maintain a 3.0 average. Find out more about it, go through the acceptance process, and get ready to study with us next semester. The details at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Catherine Wright and Ken Yates.
And Catherine, we have a question from one of our listeners. Basically, one passage, which is the rich young ruler. So why don't you tell us who it is and summarize his question.
Yeah, this is from Nicholas, and he's asking about Matthew 19 specifically. Basically, how do we reconcile this passage, which seems to teach works-based salvation? It's talking about gaining eternal life, but the response of the Lord seems to be teaching that it's by works. But as hopefully our listeners know, eternal life is a gift freely given to those who simply believe in Jesus for it. And so, yeah, how do we harmonize basically the promise of eternal life as a gift to those who believe? Whereas here in Matthew 19, it seems to be teaching that eternal life is earned through obedience through the commandments.
Yeah, and we're talking about the account of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, starting in verse 16, and it goes through the end of the chapter to verse 30. And Nicholas says that he fairly readily sees three places in this passage that seem to be saying that we're saved by good works.
Yeah.
So before we answer the question, let me just say, remind all of us that this leads us to a principle of hermeneutics, which is how do we interpret the scripture? Okay. This principle is that we know the Bible never contradicts itself.
That's right.
We know absolutely for certain that eternal life is given free. And there's no works involved.
And Nicholas says that in his question to us, that he's free grace and he understands that. But
right.
He's just, you know, wrestling with
sure.
this.
Sure. And so what do you do when you come to a passage like this? What do you come to any passage that seems to be saying, wow, is this telling me I got to do good works to make it into the kingdom of God? And it is perfectly all right for any of us to say, you know, I don't know what this passage is saying, but I know it's not teaching salvation by good works.
That's right.
And there's going to be times when we just say, hey, I'm not really sure what that, and it doesn't even have to be about salvation.
I was about to say, I think of so many examples like this. Like the Bible is very clear that the Lord is good.
Right.
That he's holy. But then there are, and there have been groups throughout the years who have said, well, in God, there's light and darkness. And so they'll point to
a particular passage.
Right. They will go to certain verses that seem to teach that. And it could be convincing to somebody who maybe is new to the faith and is confused by those things. But like you said, that there's just a simple principle of if there's a definitive statement like the Lord is good or holy and one of those concepts, and we see that and it's very clearly stated, then whatever verse is brought up that seems to contradict that statement, you don't have to understand it, but you can be confident and resolved in the fact that, okay, it can't be contradictory.
Yeah, we know what it's not saying.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
You know, Jesus is God. So if you're looking at a verse that says, wow, this seems to say that, you know, he's not God. Well, we know it's not saying that.
Yes, yeah. Another good one, yeah.
And so let's look at these, because this is a long passage. We're not going to deal with all of it. But let's look at these three instances where Nicholas wonders what's going on here. Well, it starts right off at the beginning. In verse 16, this man, this rich young ruler, comes up to Jesus and says, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? Mm-hmm. Jesus answers and says, because the guy calls him good teacher, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And so Nicholas says, you know, I know that salvation is free, but what does Jesus mean by this? You know, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Plus the guy asked, what good thing must I do?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, I want to have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I need to do? And then Jesus says, well, keep the commandments then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Easy.
Yeah. So
totally easy.
So if someone came to you, Catherine, and said, this seems to be teaching eternal life is by keeping the commandments, right? How would you respond to that?
That's impossible.
That's right.
It's impossible. Well, especially right after that, the rich young ruler asks him which ones, which commandments, and the Lord gives this list. And I mean, just all, I mean, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who does that? Who does that? I mean, it's just.
I've never met anybody who loved their neighbor as much as they love themselves.
That's right. It's just, it's impossible, which is the point, right?
Right.
You can't do anything to earn eternal life. That is an impossible act.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful Free Grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
Yes, and so what we see here in this first one, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. If you could keep the commandments perfectly and you never sinned, then you would enter into life.
Which goes back to the opening of, why do you call me good?
Right.
The issue there is nobody that's good.
And he even says that. The Lord
says
that.
That's the point, yeah.
And the man says, what good thing must I do?
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus's point is, you can't. There's nothing good that you can do.
That's right. Which, by the way, isn't this a common conversation that we have with unbelievers? How many unbelievers think, I'm a good person. You know, I go to church and I tithe or I'm a good Muslim or whatever. And they think, because I do these good things, that will get me in. And so how do you evangelize to somebody like that? They
yeah.
don't think they need eternal life by faith. They think that they can earn it.
Right.
So,
I mean, how many times do you hear people say, I keep the Ten Commandments? I'm like, what planet do you live on?
Really?
Jesus summarized them into two commandments. Love God with all your being
mm-hmm.
and love your neighbor as yourself. There's only two. You don't do those either. And that is the Lord's point. He's showing this man there's nothing good that he can do. There's no one good. He's not good. There it is.
There is no good thing that you can do. None are righteous.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's the answer to the first part that seems to be teaching good works. Well, what about the second one?
Before that, I just want to point out verse 20. You see how delusional he is, the rich young ruler, because he says, oh, all of those things I've done since my youth. That's crazy.
I'll tell you what also is crazy, if we could just shift gears just a little bit. Lordship Salvation people who say, examine yourselves to see if you're really saved.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like this guy.
Yes.
What they do is they look at themselves and they go, oh, yeah, I measure up.
Yeah.
You know, what? Do you look at these commandments and say, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, I've got them down pat?
Well, and it doesn't take very much for the Lord to bust his bubble.
Right.
Because he says, okay, if that's true, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, y'all, but he says, sell all your possessions and give them away. And the rich young ruler walks away sorrowful because he had so many possessions. In other words, you just said that you loved your neighbor as much as you love yourself, but you're not giving up all your stuff for them. So clearly that's not true, even though you just claim that you've done that since your youth. So you see, it doesn't take very long to pull at that thread. Okay, you think you're good enough. Let's just take one of those commandments and just pull that thread a little bit. And you see that it's a house of cards. It falls apart.
Yeah. I mean, another commandment, you shall not covet.
Yeah.
Well, then give everything away. Well, if you didn't covet all these things that you have, why wouldn't you give them away?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So that's the first one.
It's a pre-evangelistic conversation with a very self-righteous person. That's basically what we're saying.
Yeah. And sometimes we meet people like
that.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. we meet people who think they're better than other people and they're good enough. They keep the Ten Commandments. That's this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he probably felt this way because he was rich. He thought his riches were a display that he was a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that culture, mm-hmm. riches were considered blessings, just like the prosperity people
today.
Right. You know,
I'm favored by the Lord. He obviously is pleased with me because he's blessed me with all these riches.
Right. So yeah. I must be keeping the commandments, right? Okay. So what about number two that Nicholas brings up in this passage in verses 23 through 26? When he says, the Lord says, "It is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God."
Mm-hmm.
And so Nicholas's point here is, isn't this teaching that it's hard, you know, for someone? Why is it hard for a rich man? Well, once again, the Lord is talking about what is impossible.
Right.
A camel cannot go through the eye of a needle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know some people think this is talking about a gate in Jerusalem, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is literally saying it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
Similarly, it is impossible for a man to earn eternal life.
Yeah, this guy wanted to earn eternal life.
Right.
You know, what must I do? And Jesus says that in verse 26,
mm-hmm.
with men, this is impossible. But with God, it's possible to give eternal life.
Right.
And then finally,
mm-hmm.
the last one in here is when the Lord talks about the ones who give up he's talking to the disciples now. And in verse 29, he says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers and, you know, family for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life." Isn't he saying to get eternal life, you have to give up these things?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a shift there.
Right.
And that's what we would say. First of all, the shift is that Peter comes to him. So now we're talking to a believer.
Believers.
And we're not talking about entering. We're talking about inheriting eternal life.
Right. And this is in Galatians 6, 7 mm-hmm. through 9, where Paul says, "The one who walks by the Spirit shall reap eternal life."
That's right.
"Shall have a greater experience of eternal life." So he's talking to believers.
So now we're talking about the quality of that life for believers right. who are sacrificially following the Lord.
Well, great question, Nicholas. Mm-hmm. There was a passage that people would look at and say, "Boy, the rich young ruler sure seems to teach you got to work your way to heaven." But once again, the Bible never contradicts itself. Eternal life is absolutely free. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We hope you have a peaceful weekend, honoring the Lord and fellowshipping with His people at a Bible-believing church. And join us again on Monday for more Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.